We have a pretty consistent theme between at least the first reading in the gospel today. That idea of being able to hear and respond to God's call. In our own lives, we all probably have times where we struggle not just to hear God's call, to discern God's call, but to act on it. I know from the time that I was a little kid, I struggled with various callings. The earliest probably being that when I was a little child, and I define that as under the age of 22, was that call that my mother would issue to me to get up out of bed. Keep in mind, I am not, nor I have ever been, a morning person. Even though my birth certificate will tell you I was born at 6:16 a.m., please know that it was against my will. So the call that I would receive in the morning before going to school went something like this, and some of you may have heard this before. Jimmy, Jimmy, jump up. And yes, that carried me through college. And it would continue maybe two, possibly even three times more. But if Jimmy didn't jump up, the calling, which was identical in its meaning, took on a little different tone, oftentimes accompanied by an apparition of my mother in anything but a blessed stance in my doorway. And then it sounded more like this: James DeWitt, get out of that bed. I'm convinced to this day that every mom goes to mom school and are told, when you want their attention, invoke the middle name. You know, but then there'd be other times that I discern a calling. You know, for instance, when I went to college, I was a newly minted Catholic. The oil of chrism was barely dry when I started school as a business major. And I was there for one semester, was doing fairly well. But at the same time, being a Catholic college, I also needed to take theology classes as part of the curriculum. And I was like a sponge. I really wanted to know more about my faith. And I took that as part of, as a sign that maybe this is something I need to study more. So I went to my advisor, who was also my professor, who was also the department chair of the business department. And I told him that I thought that in the second semester I was going to rethink this idea of being a business major and major in theology and psychology. And he didn't seem particularly surprised, and he said, "Yeah, I can see that. I guess that would probably be a good idea if you're going to be a priest." At which point I looked at him and said, "I'm not going to be a priest." And he planted the idea there. I had in my mind, in all of my benevolence, that I could walk away from the business degree and instead do something where I could either counsel or teach or maybe be a youth minister or something along those lines. But priesthood didn't even make the list. He planted that in my mind. And you know, you think about it. Look at those readings in the gospel today. You have people all along the spectrum here, from Samuel to the two disciples. Samuel, it doesn't say he was really against it, but he certainly tried to struggle. He struggled to try to discern where that voice was coming from. He assumed it was from his mentor, Eli. "I heard you call me." "No, go back to bed. "I didn't call you." So he had to be somewhat perplexed, or maybe wondering if he was just hearing things. But he was able to eventually discern that it was God calling him. And the scripture told us that his words, no word he spoke, went without making an impact after that day. You know, you look at those two disciples. Andrew was the only one named. They had a posture of readiness. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted to welcome the Messiah. It's almost, you can see Jesus looking at them and they're following him and saying, "What do you want? Why are you following me?" Well, where are you staying? Come and you'll see. Isn't that the words of invitation we hear from Jesus every day when we struggle to follow? Come and you'll see. It may not always make sense. It may not always seem easy. But come and you'll see. And that's the problem I think that we struggle with sometimes, is when things don't line up according to what we might think, then we struggle. And if we don't come, if we don't follow, we never see. You know, I know in my own life I struggled, not just with becoming a priest, but even after I was ordained. Part of the placement process was to go in to be interviewed by a committee who was in charge of making the recommendations. And they asked me, you know, where would you like to go? What kind of ministry in a parish? What kind of parish? And, you know, all these questions. I just remember some distinct things that I asked for. I said, well, I'd like to be in a rather large parish so that I'm busy. Hopefully one that's kind of in the suburbs so I won't be too far of a drive from my mom. She lived in Hampstead in Carroll County. And I say it'd be nice to be in a parish with a school. A week after I'm ordained, I get the call from the director of clergy personnel. The archbishop is assigning you to St. Anne Parish in Hagerstown. Now, for those of you that might be a little bit geographically challenged, Hagerstown is in Western Maryland. Although if you're in Washington County, you'll say, no, that's not Western Maryland, that's Central Maryland. You have to go to Cumberland to be in Western Maryland. And they won't say Western Maryland. They say, this isn't Western Maryland. This is Mountain Maryland. You've got to go to Oakland to be in Western Maryland. Doesn't matter. It was not anywhere near what I had asked for. It didn't have a school. It wasn't a humongously large parish. And it certainly geographically didn't fit what I had envisioned. As a matter of fact, when he said, you're going there, I said, who did I upset? What did I do? But I was there for 5 wonderful years and can't imagine my life without having had that experience. Wasn't my plan, certainly wasn't my call in terms of one that originated with me, but for some reason that was God's. How was it realized? Come and you'll see. I got another call a number of years later to consider pastoring St. John the Evangelist. And I can remember sitting down with Bishop Mitch Rizansky talking about the possibility. And he was telling me how the parish had just gone through a strategic planning process, a master plan for its facilities that would come up to about $30 million, at which I was just on the verge of catatonic. And I said, well, you know, right at that time, it was well known the economy had just taken a dive. I said, how would we do that? And he says, I'll never forget his words. He said, one step at a time. You just go in, you evaluate, and just move forward. His calming voice is what was able to let me move forward with some sense that, okay, we don't have to do everything all at once. We just need to keep moving forward. I've been here about 8.5 years now, and I remember it was tough in those early days because the prior two pastors, Monsignor Woy and Bishop Mitch, both were transferred rather quickly. You might remember that one was here, it was like 2, 3, 4 years at the most. So I remember my third year, I was sitting at one meeting and I literally beat my fist on the table and said, I'm not going anywhere. And that's very true. I'm going nowhere fast. But, you know, the point comes down to, okay, what have we done? And you might remember, about 5 years ago, we announced the first phase of our Fulfilling Our Vision campaign. And at the time, I remember people having their doubts, are we going to be able to do this? Because it was part of an archdiocesan campaign. But, you know, working together, what we were able to do. We met the archdiocesan goal rather easily, and were able to satisfy that and really contribute substantially to many of the good works and critical needs in our own archdiocese, helping other parishes and ministries that were really struggling. But then over on top, above that, we were able to get a good strong footing to get this parish activity center underway. And we're going to dedicate that sucker in 2 weeks. That's something to celebrate. Now, is it all paid for? No. But if we had waited right now, I'd be talking to you about this idea of a parish activity center. It's there. We have to pay for it and then look at what our next phase is, which is the church. So today, I'm announcing to you that we're entering that second phase of the Fulfilling Our Vision campaign. And it's not something that we should be afraid of. It's something where we should hear God's call for this community to keep moving forward. You may have come in the front doors of the church and into the gathering space. You might have seen some work going on there on the side. Within about a month, that will be a multi-purpose room / childcare area. So on Sundays, when parents drop off their little children, it'll be right there in a very accessible, safe place for childcare so they can celebrate Mass and be in the very same building. Now, what's our next thing? What is next for us? As we go into this second phase, it's basically to retire the debt that we have on the activity center and to begin the renovations of the church that we had identified a number of years ago. Now, as we do this, one of the things that's great is Archbishop Laurie has allowed this not to be a new campaign, but an extension, a second phase, which means that 100% of all we do in phase two stays here for our ministry and mission for in what we have in our case statement. Now, as we get ready to dedicate that activity center, I'm looking for you, because I know I cannot do this alone. I can't even do it with just a handful of people. We need everyone to pull together to make this a success. Is it an ambitious campaign? Yes, it is. But it was not even as ambitious as the last one, and we nailed that one. So as we come into the second phase, I'm looking for you to step up and to volunteer to do one of three things initially. Okay? And some of you may have read this in the email that I sent out this week. You're going to see these little cards on the end, and then I'm going to ask you to pass those out. One is to make phone calls. And no, these are not financial solicitations. Just calling folks up, reaching out, and ask them to attend a reception to learn more about the project in detail. Okay? Second, for those people who have that meet and greet gene, I need people who are naturally welcoming to serve as greeters and help with the receptions, you know, the refreshments at each of those gatherings. And third, after we've completed the receptions, I need another group of people who will engage in follow-up, maybe reaching out to those who are unable to make it to a reception and to be able to give them the information, to reach out to them so that they can make informed decisions. Now, here's the promise. You will be trained for whatever role that you volunteer for, and I will guarantee you that you will meet some phenomenal parishioners, probably whose names you don't know or maybe haven't seen in this ample community. Now, those cards are at the end of the pews, and I'd ask you to reach and grab one of those per family or per person, it doesn't matter. A card, and these little cards look like this, and a pencil. And I will not insult your intelligence by going through line and line and say, write your name where it says name or email where it says email. I just ask you to fill it out, to print it clearly, and just to indicate which of those things that you'd be willing to step up to. I would like to see a minimum of 100 volunteers from this Mass alone. That is what I am hoping for. That is what I am praying for. And that's what I believe we can do. Now, I've assembled a campaign committee that's going to lead the project, but we do need help. A great number of volunteers are needed because we need to personally contact people. Ideally, I'd like to make sure that everyone in the parish who's on our registration rolls has a personal invitation to come to one of those receptions. So what I'm asking everyone to do will be to attend one of those receptions, whether you're able to help or not, but I'm hoping you are, and you'll be able to kill two birds with one stone. Come to the reception, help with it, and also learn more. And then to just make sure that we do all we can to reach out to get as many people there as we can. Once you have indicated which of those three areas, and it could be more than one, that's really up to you, just put that in either the first collection or the second collection. And then we'll get it and we'll be getting back to you in terms of scheduling the meetings for the trainings and so forth. We're trying to keep all of these things as short and painless as we possibly can, but at the same time, make sure we're doing it well. So I thank you again for all the support that each of you routinely give to this parish. I know you give your time. I know many of you volunteer in various ministries and outreaches, and I know that you're all praying for this community. Otherwise, so much that we've had happen wouldn't be happening. And I don't take for granted your financial commitment, but I really believe we have something really, really great to invest in this community. So I'm just asking you again to kind of go out there, be open to God's call, and help us to really continue to be that community that is doing nothing more, nothing less than forming disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel. Amen.